Okay, this is a recording for the Og Blog podcast. I am Nat Gertler, your Og blogger, and I'm here talking with Harriet Glickman, who has an interesting little special spot in the history of peanuts. Good day, Harriet.
Hello, Nat. Very nice to see you.
Harriet and I have known each other for several years now.
Okay. When your book came out.
Well, before the book came out, because I couldn't have written the without your help. I interviewed her for both the Peanuts collection, available from Little Brown, and for an issue of Hogan's Alley. And Harriet, were you a regular reader of Peanuts before, say, 1968?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Always.
Okay. What did you like about it?
Everything. I liked particularly the sweetness, the innocence of the children. I had younger children at that time, and I just loved it and never questioned it in any way until the story is the story of Franklin. When Martin Luther King was killed, it was sort of like a tipping point for me. I had spent my whole life being concerned about the kind of issues that he raised. I grew up in a very progressive family where I learned to care for others at the beginning of my life, and my sister and I both. All through the years, I had seen incidents of racism, incidents of discrimination on all levels, and it was sort of, as I say, a tipping point, because I sat right here at this dining room table with a typewriter and decided I would try to do something that might make a little difference. And the thought came to me that the comics that my children saw in the paper each day, and I think children read more of the comics than they do now, because as I look at the full page of comics in the local paper, one would think that it's sometimes almost an adult porno strip. And so there are very few little moments that are for children. But at that time, in 1968, they were really more children's comics.
And more people were reading in general because more people had newspapers.
Right,
that's right.
That sort
of phased out these days.
And we had, that's none of the social media that we have today. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the question that came to me was the possibility of putting using the term Negro now is what we used in the communications at that time. Mm-hmm. I asked Charles Schulz, among others, if he would put a Negro child into the strip. And I wrote him that I had children and I felt that this might be an important thing to do. His answer was very quick. I was very surprised. He responded very quickly and he said he liked the idea, but that he felt that it might seem patronizing to African American parents. Again, I'm using the expressions interchangeably. Mm-hmm. Black, African American, Negro.
Well, you've been through a lot of time with the changes in that language.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So. And so I asked him for his permission to share his letter with an African-American friend of mine, Ken Kelly, mm-hmm. who was the father. And Ken also shared it with a friend of his, Monica. They both wrote. Ken's letter in particular was very strong. And when Schulz received the letters, he wrote me back and said, I had written him in June, and this was July. He said that I would be very pleased to see the strip on a particular day. Mm-hmm. And indeed I was, as you can imagine. And that was Franklin. The response to it was really interesting. The response in 1968 and the response in 2017, mm-hmm. There were many articles written about it. I think Newsweek had a little article. There were Charlie Brown Has a New Friend kind of article. At the same time, Schulz received messages from Mississippi that they were very upset. They asked the syndicate not to send them comic strips of black children in the same classroom as white children because they were facing mandatory busing.
Yes.
To the schools.
Yeah, so that a simple image of that is a controversial thing to them.
Right, exactly.
And they didn't want that sort of controversy.
So Peppermint Patty sitting behind Franklin in a classroom was a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
He responded in the best way possible when the syndicate approached him and said, was he sure originally was he going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
He said, either you print it or I quit. So there was, you know, had been concerned about exactly this, the response from other parts of the country where racial segregation and discrimination was still so very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, he went on with it. And that's sort of the story. I wish I could say that having one little black child named Franklin in a comic strip had changed the world. But when I read the newspapers today, I find that much of what disturbed me so much in 1968 is still true today. And it's sad to say, but I fear it's true.
There are times when we think we're doing better, and there's times when we discover, and sometimes it's good for the discovery, as painful as it is, to know what's still going on out there.
Yeah, it is.
I think.
It is. But what is, on the positive side, very interesting, to this day, I meet young black people, particularly men,
mm-hmm.
but there have been a lot of women too, who tell me what it meant to them, that they had, you know, they had always been reading the comics, and then one day there's somebody that looked like them. And to me, it's overwhelming that if it was that important to them, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I knew it was important, but to this day, it's something that they remember because it made a difference in their lives.
Well, representation is definitely something that a lot of groups are fighting for more of, and certainly have come a long way since those days in terms of African-American representation in all sorts of media.
Right. When I look at the comic page now, it's wonderful. There could be five or six different strips
mm-hmm.
that have a person of color.
Forward Step certainly wasn't going to cure everything in and of itself.
No.
But continue to make small steps. Forgive me for saying this just to give context because this is an audio thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a person of color.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm a white, Jewish, 90-year-old mother of three adults and three wonderful grandsons.
That's great. How often have people known about the fact that you were involved in this?
That's been really quite wonderful. Of course, with social media now,
mm-hmm.
the next generation is just hearing the story. So when my niece in New York heard the story, she put it on Facebook. And then each one put it on another one, and it began, and their friends would hear the story. Mm-hmm. And most people didn't know the story, obviously.
Yeah.
But it seemed to really make a difference. And I think from it, whenever I talk to young people or they ask me about this, I say it's a really small thing that I did, but everybody can make a little difference. You really can. And I think, with all humility, that Franklin did make a difference, at least in the lives of some young black kids.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really good that your story is out there because it does, I think, encourage people to recognize that even doing something small, you wrote a couple letters.
That's all it took.
And it made this individual step.
Right.
And Franklin got into the strip and he stayed in the strip. So many of the new characters get added to Peanuts over the years.
Uh-huh.
They fade out a bit, but Schultz made sure
Franklin stayed.
He clearly thought that was important.
And it was wonderful to see him in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That came out, I guess it was about a year ago or so, wasn't it?
It's been a couple of years now.
Oh.
Yeah.
But he was definitely a part of the group. His color was very definite. And I only mention that because there are variations in the print where sometimes it doesn't look as, it might be a comic book or it might be reproduction or something. As another example outside of the strip, I have a small stuffed Franklin.
Yeah.
And he's sort of tan. And a friend of mine in Cincinnati sent me a picture of himself holding the same one, but it is now the color it should be. It's a much darker toy.
Oh, that's good.
And it makes sense. By the way, when your book came out, my first thought was, oh boy, he put my address in.
Yeah, I realized later looking at
we
produced a letter that it had your actual address in.
So,
but it was useful today because when I went to drive here, I opened up the book and
you found the address. But when the book came out, over a period of a couple of weeks, I heard from two people. One was a police officer in Cincinnati named William Bell, who was so taken with this. He was a father of young kids, and he did diversity training in Cincinnati. See, he has since retired, but he has been doing this for a couple of years now. He uses Franklin as a part of a program that he puts on in libraries for kids of all colors and so on. And he talks about diversity. Even his email address is Diversity in Comics. But he wrote, and we actually became good friends. And he stayed in touch with me, let me know the things that he was doing. He put out posters and signs with Franklin. I had two letters from your book. Mm-hmm. William was one. And the other was a woman named Sandy, also in Ohio, who was a Mormon. And she said that her boys who were in school were going to use my letters to tell the story in their class in school. And those were the only two, but they were significant, really, because somebody was really paying attention. Mm-hmm. And I felt very good about that.
And then around the time of the Peanuts movie people are both caring and smart businessmen. They wanted or business people. I'm not sure they're all businessmen. They wanted to make sure the black audience felt welcome to come and that they would be part of it. So there was a certain extra amount of attention paid to Franklin. As you said, he showed up well in the movie. Mm-hmm. But you also got some attention.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it was wonderful. They sent me to Little Rock, to the Clinton Foundation, and Ken Kelly went as well, the father who sent a letter along with later. And we spoke to a group of large number of teachers were there who were using the story in their classroom and wanted to hear more from us about how it came about and so on, so they could have more information for the classroom. But they were using it on the question of how you can make a difference in meaning. We had a wonderful time. I was able to actually see Little Rock High School, which sort of gave me the chills that I was actually there. And then they also sent me to Philadelphia for the NAACP conference that was there. I was interviewed with the young boy who was the voice of Franklin in the movie.
Yes.
And I must say that his movie name, I guess, is Marmar. And when I first saw him in the lobby of the hotel, I couldn't believe it. He was Franklin. He looked the way he looked. Everything about him. And he's a charming, bright young boy. And he and I were on a couple of radio programs. We were interviewed on TV and on radio. And then at the conference itself, I must say that Marmar and I were at a table, and people were much more interested in him than they were in me. And it was great. He handled it all very well. And then they did a one-on-one interview in front of the conference people. So the story got out, which was very nice.
Yeah, I saw a lot of news pieces on that around that time.
Yeah.
So that's good. And one thing that's been nice is that in the wake of the Peanuts movie, they continue to focus on Franklin more than they had before. They recently came out with the first kid storybook where Franklin was the title character.
Right.
Yeah, and coming out next year, I just downloaded this picture off the internet, a cover of another second storybook,
wonderful,
again with Franklin, built around his first appearances. The cover shows Charlie Brown and Franklin on the beach, which is where they met originally.
That's wonderful. I love it.
And
I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, so I thought I'd show that to you.
Well, they also have the Hot Wheels cars that you actually sent me that have one car that's for each of the characters, and I have now the little Hot Wheels for Franklin.
Well, you accumulated a number of Franklin items.
Yes, number of items. Animals and the little bobble, what do you call them? Bobbleheads.
Bobbleheads.
I have a lot of them. But most valuable to me are the letters. And I got one not too long ago from a man whose name is Franklin. I guess he had seen the movie and heard the story or something, and he wrote me about how much it had meant to him. And that was really recent. I'm always stunned now because it's such a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So much has happened since then. So many more stories that are more dramatic and possibly more interesting. But to me, this is a very precious thing. And one of the things about my life I feel very good about.
And well, you should. He's, in some ways, another one of your kids.
Yes. Oh, as a matter of fact, my children refer to him as their little brother, Franklin. And my grandchildren as well. Sometimes they'll send me a message to Franklin's mom. But you know, he's a sweet little kid.
Yeah. Arguably, he's a little too sweet.
I know.
In Peanuts, usually somebody either has a quirk or is very good at expressing anger.
Right. He's the only one.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, in the original letter, I did say, if he did like the idea, perhaps he'd use more than one.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if you can, you can give them a Lucy, because they're just real kids, like
yeah.
every other kid.
Right, right. So, you don't want it to be sort of the ideal
yeah,
person.
The ideal child.
In Peanuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
He ends up often more of somebody who...
Everybody's friend.
He's everybody's friend, and we use him for reactions more than for
right,
generating reactions.
Right.
But that's fine. He wasn't the last
but,
character of color in Peanuts. There weren't a lot of others, but there were some.
Yeah, so. And in some of the little movies I've seen, the party with the kids dancing, there
mm-hmm.
are two or three kids of color in there.
Yeah.
It's great.
That is nice.
I always feel very personal about it.
Well, I think we pretty much covered things.
Okay.
But thank you very much for your time.
I'm really happy to do it.
Good seeing you again. And, you know, I think of you whenever I see Franklin about, which is, as I said, more and more often these days.
Oh, thanks, Matt.
All right. Thank you. And that brings us to the end of another Og Blog podcast. Till next time, be sure to stop by the Og Blog at blog.aaugh.com for all the latest in Peanuts news and notes. Keep reading the good stuff, and may all your griefs be good ones. Bye-bye.